Mental illness is epidemic in America, and the problem is spreading worldwide. It's time for decisive action, because the battle for the mind is part of a much larger war being waged between good and evil, with you as the prize. Welcome to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. On this program, we'll uncover Bible-based weapons for fighting destructive feelings and resolving inner conflicts. Dr. Jennings wants to arm you with the tools necessary for achieving emotional and mental stability as you strengthen your relationship with God. I'm your Simple Solutions host, Charles Mills. Recently, I attended an alumni weekend at a Christian academy in New York State. They were honoring the class of 1960, the year my big brother graduated from that school, and I was there with him. I enjoyed the music, stories, and the friendships reconnecting all around me. It was interesting to me to notice the interplay between the students of today and students from long ago. Same school, but very different outlook on life. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's when I got to thinking, what have we older folk learned that these young people really need to know? How could the members of the class of 1960, 70, or 80 help the class of today look forward to a better life? What guidance could we provide? But then I thought, hey, forget about us. I'll talk to Dr. Jennings about this and see what he, a Christian psychiatrist and collector of a few years himself, what he would say to graduates today that would help them face the future with some confidence. So, Dr. Jennings, here you are standing before the class of this year, kids eager to face the future. What words of wisdom do you have for them as they set sail on the rough sea of life?
You know, that is such a broad question, but we'll try and go with it and see what we can find out. I think I would tell them that true happiness and true success is found in a life of giving, not in a life of getting. And that the way we are conditioned in our society, media, and even in our school systems, it's very much about getting self ahead.
Yes.
And we come into the real world with this unconscious motivation to succeed at all costs, in the sense of what the world calls successful, going out there and pursuing more things, a better car, a bigger house, a better paycheck. And it's all about accumulation of worldly things. And it really misses what brings true happiness. And I think happiness and health, and the science backs this up, altruistic living, living your life to bless other people, to give, to care, to use your energies to help others, brings the most happiness and the most joy in life than a life that's focused on what you can get out of it.
Do we know as human beings, as sinful human beings, when we have crossed the line to going from I need to take care of myself and my family to I really want to take good care of myself and my family? Is there a line there that we should be aware of?
I think we are all born with this predilection to watch out for ourselves. And as we grow, we can it's really not about the specific behavior usually. It's about the motivation of the behavior. You can actually do altruistic behaviors for self-motivation, for self-exaltation. I'm going to go out and, you know, work at the soup kitchen because I'm running for Congress this fall and I want to be sure I've got some good media clips. Or I want to, go into the mission field so I can come back and get praise from my church as being this great missionary, and so forth. I mean, you can do it for reasons other than actually caring about people. You can do altruistic behaviors. So it really is more than simply the behavior. We're talking about developing a heart attitude where you actually care about people.
Well, you have outlined the first guideline that we would give to young people today. We'd really ask them to get in touch with their motivation. What is your motivation for wanting to live your life? And, you know, Dr. Jennings, when you talk to kids about motivation, the world is telling them a very different story. They're motivating them in very different ways. Where does one go? Where does a young person go today to be motivated correctly so that the motivation they live under is one of godly intent?
Well, I think before we even answer that question, we have to, you know, we're talking about, what do you say to these kids? We talked about a life of love rather than a life of selfishness. And so what we're really saying is that the kids need to set a vision for themselves. What is the vision that they want to have for their future? More than just a goal. Goal, you know, you can accomplish goals, but I'm talking a vision. And my recommendation to them is that they set a godly vision or an eternal vision, that they're not looking simply to what they will achieve in 70 years on earth. They're looking beyond this earth to an eternal reality. And they try to step back in their mind and see the vision of how their life will unfold from a heavenly perspective. So one of the best things they can do is change their vision of how they see themselves, how they see the world, and how they see where they want to go in life. And with that vision in mind, then that will influence the types of decisions that they make for what they're going to do with their life.
This vision you talk about, and I agree with you 100%, this vision, can this be taught, or do some people just simply have a better capacity than others to establish the kind of vision in their hearts? Is it character driven?
This can be taught. There's no question this can be taught. In fact, it has to be taught because we don't naturally have healthy visions. All babies born into the world come in egocentric, and their vision is how they can get themselves ahead at the expense of everybody else. So yes, this absolutely can be taught. And, we want to teach them. We want to help them see the consequences. This is very observable. This is not something ethereal and mystical and only is going to happen at some future date somewhere. This is real world right now. When you live a life where you actually have a vision that you want to go down a path in which you promote the welfare of others, that you want to live a healthy life, and a loving life, this actually results in a calmer stress cascade in your own physical body, which means you have less physical illness, less hypertension, less cholesterol problems, less risk of ulcers, less cancers. All these things happen when you actually live a life where you care about others. When you live a life that's self-referenced, when you're trying to get ahead all the time, you're worrying about your bills, you're worrying about whether you're going to get that grade, whether you're going to get that guy, you're focused always in competition, always under this kind of stress, it actually causes a physical stress on your body and you get more heart disease. This is why the type A personality, the Wall Street types, have all these types of problems because they're constantly pinging their stress cascade of their body, and it actually wears out the life forces. It's those who have a vision to care about others that actually right here, right now, have a better life.
Do you have a Bible text, Dr. Jennings, that you like to think about, that you like to meditate on, that basically says what you just said? Is there something in the Bible that led you as you went through your journey?
You know, I don't, there are multiple texts, and I don't know that my way of approaching Bible is to bring all the texts. I don't like to form positions and beliefs off of an isolated text here and an isolated text there. I like to bring the entire basis of Scripture in to form a comprehensive understanding of the message behind it. And the message of Scripture as a whole is God is a God of love. Life is built to operate on love. And sin is the process of self-centeredness based on fear and insecurity, and it results in pain, suffering, and death. That's the message of Scripture. And we're wired for fear, and God wants to heal us to lives of love.
Boy, I like that, Dr. Jennings. So many people choose a text and they live that text, but they don't see the forest for the tree that they have their nose pressed up against. I like the idea of taking all of the texts of the Bible, all the messages of the Bible, defining them down to what you just said, and then living by that. That is biblical living, if I ever heard one. Would I be on the right track if I said that?
That's exactly right. And a lot of people, and this is another thing I would tell graduates, think for yourself. So have a vision. Pursue a life of love. Think for yourself. Too many people have been conditioned by our education system to not do critical reasoning or thinking. They've been conditioned to memorize and regurgitate. Memorize and regurgitate. Even in churches, churches are notorious for this. They give you your catechism. They give you your memory verses. They give you your doctrines you have to study, and it's memorization and regurgitation. And you get your little star by your name when you get it, when you can regurgitate it right. Memorization and regurgitation makes a non-thinking people. We want people who are able to take what they hear, critically examine it, weigh the evidences, test the theories, and come to their own conclusions. So we don't want, and you know, our ministry, Come and Reason, Christian is all about teaching people how to discern, how to weigh the evidences, to develop those capacities for thinking and reasoning for themselves. So I tell graduates, be thinkers. Be thinkers, reason, weigh the evidences, ask questions. This is critically important. So when it comes to scripture or Bible study, my approach, the approach that I use is what I call the integrative evidence-based approach. I integrate all the evidences as far as my human mind can, as many of the pieces of the puzzles, many of the scriptures, and this is both scripture and science and nature, bringing all the pieces together to form a complete whole.
What we are not preparing young people to be thinkers in our educational system. I don't care where you go to school. We are regurgitators. We are not thinkers. How does a young person who has spent 16 years or more in schools learning to regurgitate become a thinker? What are the steps to do that?
You start questioning, asking the way. Blessed are the wise. W-H-Y-S. Blessed are the wise.
Oh, the wise. Okay, gotcha.
Why? Question everything. And so you ask questions and you look for the reasons, and it should be have evidence-based. If people tell you something and it doesn't make sense, you go, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense to me. What's the evidence for that? What's the rationale? What are you basing that upon? And have them explain it. And when they get angry and irritable, that response is evidence that you've just asked a question about something they believe for which they have no evidence, and they don't know why they believe it.
But doesn't God say to us, hey, listen, I said it, you believe it, that's good enough. Go your way. We're done.
Actually, no. That's what common non-thinking religious people say. But no, the Bible actually doesn't say that. God in Isaiah 1:18 through 20 says, come, let us reason together. It says in Romans chapter 14 that that every person should be fully persuaded in their own mind. And Hebrews 5, that the mature are those who have developed by practice the ability to discern the right from the wrong. So what we tell graduates are have a vision, develop a life of altruism or love, giving, think for yourself. Don't let other people tell you what to think. These are the things, these are the big principles that you want to base a healthy future on. And the thinking for yourself is critical, because in churches and religious groups, most of them that I've seen really work to shut down thinking. If you have faith, you don't think. You don't ask questions.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Well, I want to move to the next step here. We'll have a break coming up, and on the other side of the break, I want to continue this conversation with Dr. Jennings. We're talking to the graduating class of this year. They are seated before us in their caps and gowns, and my, don't they look nice. And we're talking to them about their future. Now, this can be a high school graduate, this can be a college graduate, doesn't matter. These principles apply. A lot of graduates, Dr. Jennings, and we'll cover this on our way back from the break, a lot of graduates are facing the decision that I think is one of the most important decisions of their lives, and that is for a life mate. They are looking out into the world, and they say, I want to live a life of love. I want to have a vision. I want to have the correct motivation. I want to think for myself. But I got to have a partner. I have to have a wife or a husband that will go along with that. What are the ways that you would recommend that someone begin that process of finding the mate that will go with them? And we'll cover that on the other side of the break. I want to remind our listeners that there is a website that you can go to find all kinds of good information about brain science and brain health, and that's comeandreason.com. Actually, the title of the website says it all, doesn't it? Comeandreason.com. You'll find Dr. Jennings' blog there. Program archives. You can listen to past programs. They're listed by subject as well, title. Resources like Dr. Jennings' book, Could It Be This Simple? Recommend it for anyone. Also, if you are a Facebooker, stop by and go to Come and Reason and become a fan. Join us. There's a lot of them on there already, and we have a good time listening to what Dr. Jennings has to say and finding about the resources he's making available to us. That's on Facebook, Come and Reason. So, when we come back, more with Dr. Jennings as we talk to the graduating class of this year. So, stay right where you are.
Here's your daily heartbeat with Dr. James Markham. Many days I talk to patients in the office and I try to give them a biblical prescription. They might be on all the right medications at the right doses, but I try to give them something new. And the biblical prescription I like to share with you today is let's get outside and take care of the earth. You know, we were originally designed to take care of the earth, to take care of the plants, to take care of the animals. There's something that special happens to our chemistry when we do what God originally planned us to do. He originally planned us to take care of the earth we live in. We also know when we're outside, we activate a chemical, vitamin D, which helps change our chemistry for the good. So one of your biblical treatments for the day to change your chemistry is get outside, take care of the earth, take care of God's creatures, and you'll change your chemistry.
Thank you, Dr. Markham. If you'd like more information, go to heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Can you put a price tag on confidence? Hello, this is Jeremy Woodruff, and my oldest daughter, Elizabeth, had a little bit of a struggle learning to ride a bicycle. She had a hand-me-down bike with a mismatched set of training wheels that would come loose, making for quite an unsteady ride. I knew she was close to not needing the training wheels at all, but she just couldn't seem to proceed without them until she could ride confidently with them. So I made a $12 investment in some new training wheels, and it wasn't but a matter of days before they weren't even needed anymore. And you know, seeing Ellie take off with a smile on her face was worth far more than $12. I'm reminded of a heavenly father who was willing to make the ultimate investment to see his children thrive. To learn more about this God of love, call this toll-free number, 800-775-4673, and ask for the free Discover Bible Study lessons. Give your spiritual self-confidence a big boost. Call 800-775-HOPE and ask for Discover.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're talking to the graduating class of today. And Dr. Jennings, you have made some wonderful points here. Live a life of love, get a vision. What is your motivation? Think for yourself, question everything. I like that. Now, before we move into the choosing of the mate, there's another item that sort of folds into the choosing of a mate as well, right?
And so the points that I tell the graduating class is, of course, you know, live a life of love, have that vision, think for yourself and reason. And then the next one is practice the principles of liberty or freedom, meaning that give other people the freedom to think for themselves, disagree with you if they want to, like you or not like you. So many people in the world today try to control people, and there's two primary ways. One is the overt control of authority, dictatorship, even physical abuse or verbal abuse to try to control other people. And then there's the more subtle control, which is the people pleasers. And the people pleasers are constantly scanning what they believe others would want them to do, and scanning and trying to act and behave in a way to please that person so they can control how that person will react back to them. So it's this underhanded people-pleasing control. Rather than saying, you know what, my responsibility is not to please that person. My responsibility is to live the life of love, to pursue the truth, to reason for myself, to follow that vision that I've set for myself, and leave other people free to like me or not like me. That's up to them. Look at Jesus Christ. He lived the life of love. He had a vision. He reasoned for himself, and he left people free to hate him, even to crucify him. He wasn't out there trying to make everybody please their wishes, fantasies, and wants.
Do we sometimes do this with God? We want God to respond to us in a certain way, so we act a certain way to God. Is this something we are guilty of?
I think many people do that. We can give our tithes and offerings for lots of reasons. We can give it so we can be seen, as the story in Scripture where the person threw his money in to make a big scene so everybody know how much he gave. We can do it because we believe in giving tithes and offerings, then we somehow indebt God to us, and he's now going to owe us something and pay us something back. If you bring your tithes into the storehouse, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. So we're doing this in a quid pro quo relationship with God.
Yes.
Or we can give tithes and offerings because we love him and we just want to give to him. And that is really what the blessing is promised. You open the storehouse of heaven isn't to open the storehouse of heaven and pour gold and riches upon you. It's that when you give with a heart of love, that the storehouses of heaven, and what's stored in heaven? The kingdom of love. That more love flows through your heart as you open your heart to give in love. That's what you're promised. Is people, though, can do this other thing. And so, yes, I think people do try. And some people will go into fasts. Why will they fast? To influence God. People will do penance. People will do all types. People will climb up and down stairs on their knees and say a prayer on every step. Martin Luther in the Dark Ages. Why? Trying to influence God. See, we're always, because we have this idea. And a lot of many people will pray to Jesus because they believe Jesus is up there trying to influence God rather than realizing that Jesus is God.
Is God, yeah. Yeah, me and the Father are one.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, can we move into the looking for the mate section now? Just
sure.
Real quickly?
Sure.
All right. You've opened up, and I've heard you talk about this before, this whole idea of liberty, that when we find a mate, we need to provide that mate not only our love and our affection and our attention, but also provide that mate liberty. And a lot of people miss this. A lot of young people miss this, Dr. Jennings.
Yeah, I think, and without real freedom in a relationship, love is always damaged and will eventually be destroyed. So we want real freedom in a relationship. If you want love to grow in your relationship, if you try to take freedom away, if you try to dictate, control, tell the other person what they can do, what they can wear, how much food they can, eat and all these types of things, what'll happen is in that relationship, love will be destroyed. And so only in the relationship where there's genuine mutual respect and freedom, can love grow. And so the first step in a healthy relationship is being a healthy person yourself. If you yourself are not a healthy person, it doesn't matter how healthy the person you get involved with is, you will bring an unhealthy person into the relationship, so the relationship will be unhealthy. So healthy relationships require healthy people. So the first step is not to pray, Lord, help me find the person you'd have for me. The first step is saying, Lord, help me become the person you'd have me become for whoever you have for me.
Oh, wow. 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 A lot of people are not doing that, Dr. Jennings, and I think our divorce rate is showing that, because I have a feeling that when we come into a relationship unhealthfully, there's not a lot we can do with it outside of the help of God to save it. Am I right?
Well, that's exactly, go back to our first point. Our first point was live a life of love. Life of love is a life in which we use our energies to build up another person, to bless another person. In other words, we're seeking to give to help another person's life be better. That's a life of love. What happens instead is the worldly view is, hey, it's what my rights are, what I deserve, what I need. And so we seek relationships to get someone to fulfill some need in us. I'm lonely. I'm empty. I need somebody to care for me. I need somebody to praise me. I need somebody to value me. I need somebody to worship me. I need somebody to cook for me. I need. And so we seek somebody to take from them, to take their energy, to take their time, to take their affirmation, to take their money, to take something from them. And so we're going to be a draining, dissipating influence on their life, and eventually all humans are finite, they will exhaust. But when we actually are a healthy person and we have somebody that we cherish and we want to give of ourselves to build them up, and they're a healthy person, they want to give of themselves to build us up, then it's a never-ending circle of giving and support and mutual encouragement and other-centered sacrifice and love, and those relationships build over time.
Well, we are certainly, Dr. Jennings, on this program today, thanks to you, we are certainly giving the graduating class of this year some good advice that they can take into them, into their future. If they would listen and apply these things, pretty amazing stuff can happen. I look at the graduating class and I say, oh my, the world is so hard and so rough and they are so young. And I just pray that the Lord will go with them as they move out into the big bad world, because with God, anything is possible. www.comeandreason.com is the website for you to visit. We would love for you to do that. Also, you can leave a question for future shows there as well. Simple Solutions is a production of comeandreason.com and airs each week on this station. Share your questions and concerns online at comeandreason.com and then join Dr. Timothy Jennings right here as we search for the Bible-based simple solutions God has in mind for us today. This is the Simple Solutions Halftime Show with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. I'm Charles Mills. Dr. Jennings, at this alumni celebration I went to up in upstate New York, one of the major themes that I saw running in the conversations of even one of the talks during the weekend was the fact that a lot of times we do not experience the success that we wanted to accomplish through our lives. These are the alumni talking. What is your take on people who are looking back at their lives and saying, you know, I just didn't make it? How do you measure success, and how should they measure success?
It goes back to the vision. Is their vision an earthly vision, or is their vision an eternal vision? Mm-hmm. If the vision is an eternal vision, then nothing that has happened in their life thus far determines whether their life is a success or failure. What determines whether their life is a success or failure are the choices they make from this point forward. You see, Moses was 80 when he finally started his ministry.
That's true. That's true.
And his life was a tremendous success. But what happened if he died at 79? Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have much to really brag about Moses other than he was a murderer who fled and tended sheep.
Yeah.
Okay? What determines whether our life is a success or failure are the choices we make from this point forward if we have an eternal perspective and vision. If our vision is earthly, and then we haven't gotten a certain degree, we've lost a house, we've bankrupted, we've done some of these things, then we look at that, or we've committed crime, we're in prison. Some of these things, we look back on that and we think, oh, I've ruined my life. Only if you have an earthly vision. If you have an eternal vision, then your life can still be a wonderful success.
And I think the beauty of this, Dr. Jennings, is that even if we are sitting there with an earthly ruin in our lives, it's never too late to begin the heavenly success program. Am I right?
Completely. Because it's about changing character. We may not be able to change our circumstances. We might be in prison. We might be on a life sentence. We can't get out of prison. So we're going to spend the rest of our life in prison. Doesn't mean we can't have a change of heart, a change of character, and do ministry for God in the circumstances we find ourselves in. And that is a life of success.
What about those failures, even if we call them earthly failures, where we took other people down with us, where we ruined lives, where we ruined kids or spouses and things like that? Is there a way for us to deal with those as we move into the later years of our life?
Truth heals, truth sets free. The truth is, we've all made mistakes. We've all committed sin. You can't go back and undo history. Historical facts are historical facts. We can't change the histories of what's happened. King David in the Bible murdered Uriah and stole Bathsheba. Couldn't undo that. However, what does change and can change if we are willing through the work of the Holy Spirit is we can have a new heart and right spirit. We can be changed in inner man so that our motives, our methods, our principles, the way we practice and live change so that we give of ourselves rather than seeking to take to get for ourselves.
All right. Very good. Well, we have a lot more to talk about with Dr. Jennings for our graduating class of this year. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines are open right now. What would you tell the graduating class listener? We want to hear from you. 800-775-4673.
Here's Don Stevens with a Mercy Minute.
Brooke McKenzie went the extra mile and discovered it was all uphill. Brooke traveled from her home in Canada to serve at the Mercy Ships Clinic in West Africa. She worked some long, hot days providing free physical and occupational therapy to the patients. Most patients would travel to the clinic when they needed care, but some days Brooke had to climb into the surrounding hills to treat a patient in their home. One of Brooke's most memorable patients was Marie, a 13-year-old left paralyzed by a falling boulder. Brooke helped Marie regain some mobility and taught her how to perform a few very useful household chores. Showing mercy is worth every effort. Go the extra mile and show mercy to someone today. This is Don Stevens of MercyShips.org reminding you, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy.
Canned vegetables. Hey, Duncan, get over here. Need you to stay with me and your brother, okay?
I am.
Well, closer. Come on, help me out here, buddy. Excuse me. Duncan, you're blocking me out.
I want some bologna.
Not today.
I want
Sorry. Duncan!
I want not put the number down.
Too bad.
Mommy would let me.
Yeah, well, she's not here, okay? She's gone, and she's not coming back, and you're just gonna have to deal with it like the rest of us, okay? Duncan.
On May 29th, Michelle Jimenez was killed by a drunk driver. She left behind her husband and four children. Drinking and driving is a crime that kills abruptly, but the pain lasts forever. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Do you long for that peace in your life? Let's return to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author, Dr. Timothy Jennings.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Dr. Jennings today is addressing the graduating class of this year. We are seated before him, and he is giving us some wonderful, wonderful guidelines in which to incorporate into our lives. This is good stuff, Dr. Jennings. I wish you had been my speaker at my graduating class. I may have remembered what you've said. This is wonderful stuff. So many of us, Dr. Jennings, in our desire to share the love of God, put too much of ourselves into this, too much of our own interpretation. When we want to talk to a young person about God, how do we do that? Because all we know is what we've experienced, but what we've experienced sometimes is not giving us the truth that needs to be shared with someone. How do we know if our experience is not in line with God's truth?
You know, that's a great question, and I think one of the most important things is to test our experience with the laws that God has set up that his universe should run upon. Most people don't do this. They actually rely on habits or tradition or something they were taught, but they actually haven't set up experiments upon which to test the things that they were taught to see if they're healthy or reasonable.
Yeah. Because so many times I hear people spouting off Bible texts or quotations from their favorite authors, and I realize that they really haven't lived this. They have not proven this for themselves. And that's why I like listening to you and listening to your reading your books and whatnot. These are things you get from real life. You talk about real experiences. That's very important to me. Would I be safe in saying that the best testimony is a personal experiential testimony?
Those are important. But when I say experience is a variety of careful experiments, a variety of careful experiments made with an unbiased and unprejudiced mind that is able to check in the various outcomes, the facts and evidences, and then apply those facts and evidences. So here's an example. You are taught from childhood that God is an authoritarian being. He has rules that you must live by. If you don't follow his rules, then he is required to inflict punishment upon you. And you have this concept of a certain dictator type of a being who runs the universe. And this is supposedly godly. How do we know whether this is true or not? Well, the Bible also tells us that God is love. So you can test this. You go to a relationship. You meet a young girl, and you say, you know what? I would like a love relationship with this girl. Now, God is love. I think I'll act like he does. So I go to her, and I begin to dictate to her. And I tell her that she must be at a certain time, and she must go out with me, and she must eat this food, and she must like me. And I will even tell her, as God would, of course, well, I've been taught that God does, that if she doesn't do what I say, that I will punish her in some way. I'll start out with beatings, but if she continues, then I'll light her on fire and see what happens to love. You see, this is very testable. Love will be destroyed in this. And so you can go, wait a minute, maybe this theory I've been taught about God is wrong, because you know what? It doesn't work in real life the way God designed us. Remember, we were made in his image to run on his methods. And if we've been taught certain things about God that destroy love, incite rebellion, destroy individuality. Those ideas are lies. They're falsehoods. And it's very, very sad because I can't tell you the number of preachers I know that teach these kinds of ideas about God. I recently heard a sermon recently where the pastor said something like this, you know, God loves you, but if you don't love him, he'll kill you. Imagine that.
Don't like even thinking about that because I've been listening to you so long that that is so foreign to my ears now.
You know, that is completely testable, though. Yeah. It is completely testable. Conversely, you can test it in the other way. You can actually let's say you're in a relationship. Maybe there's been a struggle for control. Maybe you've been a little critical. Maybe you've instead of using a real gun, you've used the old emotional guns of pouting or criticizing or hollering or yelling or stomping or if you don't get your way, you make your significant other pay, not with a real gun, but some emotional gun you fire at them. And you've noticed tensions have gone up in the relationship. You notice there isn't as much warmth in that relationship. There's a coolness. There's a distance in that relationship. But now you say, wait a minute, what about this law of liberty, this freedom thing? Let me try that. And now you begin to promote the freedom. And you give your spouse and you respect their autonomy. You give them the freedom to think what they want. You show respect for their individuality. You promote their aspirations and dreams. See what happens. Love starts warming and blossoming. I mean, just think about it in a relationship, listener, that you want to do something with somebody you're dating, and the person responds, well, I thought you cared about me. You mean you'd rather go out with one of your friends than go out with me? Or the person responds with, hey, that's awesome. If that's what you want to do, how can I help? I hope you have a great time. Do you need some money to go on this thing? I'd love to support you in doing this. Which one of those builds love in your heart?
Wow.
This is testable. You don't, it's not a theory that is some mystical thing that you have to, I have to have faith and believe it. It doesn't make any sense at all. And this is what I mean, that we should be reasonable people. This is what real experience is. That's what real experience is.
Well, young people, I hope you're listening to this. This is valuable information. Our phone lines are open right now. We're talking to the graduating class of 2000 and whatever, and we are wanting you, listener, to be part of this. If you have some advice you would like to share, maybe some hard-earned lessons from your life, you can share this with our listeners, and they can enjoy the benefit of your knowledge. Here's the number, 800-775-4673. That's 800-775-4673. Dr. Jennings is here to answer any questions you might have on this topic, but we also want you to share your thoughts on this topic as well. Because, you know, if you've experienced it and if you have tested it, as Dr. Jennings says, then this is a very valid piece of information you can share with us. 800-775-4673. Okay, Dr. Jennings, we've got the vision going here. We've got the love developing between this young person and this other young person, and they're looking at the future. I remember sitting in my graduating class, and I won't tell you the year because it was back when the dinosaurs roamed and the earth was warming. I remember sitting there thinking, okay, I have this information in my mind now. I've spent all these years, I've spent all these classes. How do I know if where I'm heading is in the right direction to use this knowledge correctly? What would you say to a graduating class who has that question in their minds?
What do you mean by where you're heading? Do you mean in a specific career path, a state, a city?
You like photography, so you want to be a photographer. You like sciences, so you want to be a doctor. How do you know this is the path you should be going on? This is what young people are asking all the time.
Well, the evidence is of the doors that are opening and closing in the world around you. If you have this personal desire to do a particular career, and there are no opportunities at all to do that career, then maybe you need to reevaluate that career unless you want to starve and live on the street. I mean,
in other words, reality sets in there, so the common reason part has to have some reality built mixed in there too, right?
Well, what else are we reasoning on except evidence, truth, facts, evidence, reality? Truth. You know, God uses evidences and realities of circumstances to help us learn life's lessons. I mean, this is his universe. It's the laws of his government that govern this universe, including the natural laws of this world. And we have to be wise enough to understand those and live in harmony with those.
This is, I'll have to say this is good because, you know, some majors, some fields of study are very iffy. The arts, for instance, if you want to be a musician, if you want to be a painter, if you want to be a photographer, you want to be in making motion pictures. Here's some advice I would like to share, and Dr. Zings, I think this goes along because this is reality based and evidence based. You really need to have in your arsenal of knowledge some other things that you can do. I want to be a movie star. Well, I'm gonna take classes and become a movie star. And if you don't become a movie star, you think you're a great failure. Well, the failure was you didn't have in your quiver the right ammunition needed to make it through the tough times until you become a movie star. Am I on the right track here?
I think you're doing phenomenal because I think that's exactly right. If you have one of these passions for art, for music, or one of these things, you shouldn't ignore that passion. If God has gifted you with those abilities and skills, then use those to his glory. But you may find in the world that you can't feed your family with that circumstance, and so you may have to tool yourself with another skill set that you can actually make a living with while you pursue this other aspect of your personhood in some ministry that maybe doesn't recompense you in the worldly ways.
Because so many times young people will say, you know, I graduated in the arts or I graduated in music and there's just no God, there's no openings for me. God must not want me to be in this field. And they're missing the point. God may want you to be in that field, but he wants you to be wise enough to provide for yourself and your family as you move into that field. I want to get that message across. I think it's important.
Well, when I read scripture, I find that the vast majority of human beings that have ever lived on planet Earth, including today, do not get an angel with handwriting on the wall telling them what to do.
That's true.
The vast majority do not get a vision like Daniel got, or they don't get a specific calling like Jonah got, or a whale or a great fish to take them where they need to go. Most of us actually have life circumstances, and God has given us individuality. He wants us to live our lives in harmony with his principles, but he needs his witnesses in every station of life. He doesn't want there to be a station on this earth, a place on this earth, where he doesn't have a witness witnessing for him. So he needs people that are doctors and nurses, but he also needs people that are lawyers and practice his method, and people in the arts, and he needs people in the radio business and in the television business. He needs people who are willing to live his methods in every walk of life. And so that's why, in general, he lets us, with our particular skills, passions, and the things we enjoy, choose an avenue and bless us in that avenue as long as we're willing to live our lives to his glory in those, because he needs us everywhere. But there are people on occasion that God particularly calls for a particular mission, a particular situation that he wants them to fulfill. Those things still happen too, but the most of us, that's not what we get.
All right. Very good. Just listener, if you are a young person and you're graduating with a degree and you can't seem to find jobs in that degree, I hope that you will understand, don't give up on what you want to do. Instead, find ways to hold that in your heart and work toward that and tool yourself, as Dr. Jennings says, toward that end. Don't give up. That's very important because a lot of young people, you know, they graduate with a degree and whatever, and they end up, you know, flipping hamburgers, and they say, man, I have failed. No. I think the message Dr. Jennings is saying here is that's all part of it. Flipping hamburgers may be part of the process because God can teach you things while you're flipping hamburgers. Am I on the right track here, Dr. Jennings?
I think that's a great point. Life is all about learning. Through all eternity, that's one of the things I love about God. He's infinite, we're finite. Through all eternity future, we will always be growing, always be advancing, always be learning. How boring would it be if there was not one new thing to experience or one new thing to learn? See?
True.
And so whatever station in life, we should be asking the questions, what can I learn from this? How can I take this experience and use it in such a way that it helps hone me even more into God's image, that I can build my character even more like Christ would have it be from this experience. And all life experiences are like this.
Absolutely. I can attest to that. As a writer, I have used experiences wherever I was that had nothing to do with writing. So just have faith, young person. We're talking to the graduating class.
Wait, now I have to interrupt you there.
Okay,
when you
go
said
ahead.
Just have faith, young person. The young person,
I didn't say that right.
The young person, well, no, the young person may or may not know God well enough to be able to trust him.
That's true.
When we say just have faith, well, faith in what? Well, our faith is in the one who has revealed himself to us through nature, through scripture, through his own presence here on earth. And when we look at the evidences and come to know him, well, the faith is natural because we trust him. It's not hard to have it. But if somebody doesn't know God, that's why life eternal, John 17, is that they might know you, the only true God. But if they don't know him, how can they have faith in him?
Absolutely true. And as well as that, we also need to have faith in ourselves. We need to have faith in what we know and what we desire and what we long for. I think that's important as well. 800-775-4673 is our phone number. 800-775-4673. What would you tell the graduating class of today to help them prepare for tomorrow? That's what we're talking about on the program, so stay right where you are.
Too many Christians don't know the truth about dinosaurs, but Christian scientist Dr. Elaine Graham Kennedy is out to change that. Dr. Kennedy is a research scientist who has done field work at dig sites in remote places like Patagonia. She has spent her life studying dinosaurs, and now she has published a remarkable book called Dinosaurs, published by Pacific Press, that is both scientifically based and biblically sound. It answers the questions many Christians ask. Did dinosaurs really live? Are dinosaur bones fake? Who made the dinosaurs? What happened to them? And were dinosaurs on Noah's Ark? Dr. Kennedy's book, Dinosaurs, is filled with interesting facts, photographs, and colorful charts. It is a must for every Christian home and perfect for reading with your kids. To get a copy, visit www.pacificpress.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
Hello, this is Bill Perkins with 1 Minute for Men. Success isn't measured by how well a man does in one area of his life, but by how he does in many. Areas like work, family, recreation, and church. Most of us could make it in one area, but how can we succeed in all of them? If we focus on one, we sacrifice the others. It's like juggling 10 balls. And sometimes the ball we ignore, the one we drop, is the most important one. It's crucial that you gain control of the many balls you have in the air so you can manage your life. In order to do that, you need to start at the core of your life, your private life. Before Joshua led the Israelites into the Promised Land, God addressed his private life when he told him this: "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." So men, the key to juggling so many balls is to not drop the most important one. Join the movement. Visit BillPerkins.com.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. I'm your host, Charles Mills, and we are talking to the graduating class of this year. We have given them, Dr. Jennings, you have given them such good information as they move out. We've gone through careers. We've gone through finding the life mate. Let's talk about what happens when you find that life mate, and a few months later, along comes a little one. How can you prepare the graduating class of this year for the task of having children? Any advice?
Yes, I would say prepare your own relationship first well, that you two, husband, wife, are in a very healthy state physically, mentally, relationally, and spiritually, because the most important thing to the healthy children are the healthy parents. That's you're the conduit that will provide them all the health and nurturance that they need. And then physically, as you live your life and make victories in your life, you actually alter which genes are turned on and which genes are turned off. And you pass not only along the genes to your children that you possess, you pass along the instructions on how those genes are to be expressed to your children. So life experiences alter our gene expression. So before you have children, really get yourself into a healthy lifestyle, healthy relationship, low stress. And for moms particularly, during pregnancy, if you can have a healthy spirituality, avoid a lot of television watching or stressful activities, because the more stress you have, the more stress hormones you have, that actually crosses right into the placental barrier, into the fetus, and will affect the developing brain to make that brain more vulnerable to stress in the newborn. And so the more wellness and peace you can have, which comes from healthy spirituality, the healthier your child will be. And so, yes, and educate yourself on nutrition, educate yourself on healthy environments, educate yourself on the things that television will do to the children as they're growing, so you can restrict them from television, because they need to be restricted or else it alters their brain development. So I would say prepare yourselves and educate yourselves to bring these children into the world. Don't just go in there blindly believing that, you know, it'll all turn out okay because you love each other.
This is important. I want listener you to listen to this very carefully. This is very important. You, as parents, really can affect the health of your child in two ways. Dr. Jennings has pointed out one, the field of epigenetics is really proving this, that all people have a genetic package, Dr. Jennings, and apparently that package, those bombs don't have to go off. They don't have to have the heart disease. They don't have to have the diabetes. They don't have to have the problems that a lot of people are suffering with if the parents are aware of what the triggers are on these bombs. Am I right?
Well, I wouldn't say you don't have to, but you can definitely diminish the risk. You can think about those. I like the way you put packages. You don't always have to have those packages open. In other words, those genes that put us at risk don't always have to be expressed. Life experiences can diminish the exposure or risk that our genes carry, or enhance the exposure and risk that our genes carry, because our genes are constantly being altered in their expression based on not just the foods that we eat, which do it, or the drugs that we take, which do it, but also the beliefs that we hold, the God that we worship. If you worship an angry and wrathful God, it alters the way your brain is wired so that you become less loving, less reasonable, less rational, more and less capable of empathically caring about other people. If you worship a loving God, the parts of your brain that love other people, you become more compassionate, you become kinder, you become more tolerant, you become more gentle. You actually change neurologically based on the God that you worship. And this ultimately affects the genes that are being turned on and the genes that are being turned off. By beholding, we are really changed. So all of this stuff is very important. And as we pursue the truth and develop a mindset that wants to know the truth, we develop ourselves healthier and healthier. And this is good for our children.
Oh, my. You know, a lot of young people, when they are going to have a family, they think of the dad says, okay, I'm going to be a dad of a baby. Well, you're also going to be the dad of a toddler, the dad of a preschooler, the dad of a teenager, the dad of a young man or woman. We need to start preparing to be that kind of dad, as well as preparing to be the dad of the diaper-clad baby. Am I on the right track here?
We have a responsibility to do, yes, to do the total picture of what's best for our families and our kids, representing God on all levels, and that means proper leadership as well as proper self-sacrifice.
Okay, all right. The years have rolled by, and you are now an alumni of an academy or a college someplace, and you go back to visit those hallways and those schools, and you look at the teachers, and they're really old sitting there in the back. That's what happened when I went up there to this alumni thing, that some of the old teachers were there, and they were just sitting back there, and the alumni turn to these men and women with eyes shining with love, and they were thanking them profusely. And here's the strange thing, Dr. Jennings, and this is important. I wanted to share it on the program, and I want to ask you why. They were thanking these teachers for their toughness, for their diligence, for their unbendingness in their education. Why can't we teach young people now that those are attributes worth learning under?
I'm not sure. Are you saying why can't we teach it, or why can't they learn it?
Well, either way, how can we teach them
We do teach it. We can teach it. That doesn't mean they'll comprehend, understand, appreciate, value, or learn it.
But how do we make them do that?
We can't.
We can't.
You can't make someone learn something. You can lead a horse to water. You can't make it drink. You can teach it. You can read. When Christ was on earth, was he teaching the truth?
Yes, he was.
Did
yes,
everyone learn it? Did everyone value it, appreciate it? Was that because God or Christ was somehow deficient in his teaching?
Not at all.
Okay, we cannot force people to learn. but we can teach. And so the people you saw at the alumni weekend had learned the lessons and had come to appreciate. Now, part of this has to do with capacity and the age of the person. The brain develops through childhood into adulthood, and at certain aspects of childhood development, the brain is not capable of learning certain types of lessons. Children at certain ages are not capable of abstract reasoning. They can only think concretely. I have a frog in my throat. Excuse me, I have a frog in my throat. Oh, you're eating an amphibian, are you? No.
Okay, that's that was on your web. I remember that was on your web on a blog.
That's concrete thinking. That would be a concrete interpretation. Abstract reasoning would understand that that's not what it's talking about. But at certain ages, children don't have the capacity for abstract reasoning or thinking, so they think very concretely. Sadly, many adults, maybe even more than half of our society, even though they have a brain that has now the hardware to think abstractly, they've never learned or developed the ability to think abstractly. So they remain concrete thinkers. And what's really sad is there are many preachers who remain concrete thinkers. And when they read the Bible, they think very concretely and they don't understand the meaning. And so they distort and present ugly things about God out of the scriptures because of it.
So those teachers sitting in the back row of that alumni get-together recognized that they taught, but when they were teaching, the young people may or may not have been appreciative of what they were doing. And that's an important lesson for us to learn, not only as Christians, but as parents and as fellow workers in this world, that our job is to teach, is to show, is to represent. Our joy is to do these things, but it's apparently the Holy Spirit who makes the changes. Am I right?
It's our job to do what's right because it's right, healthy, and reasonable. Parents give kids their vaccines because it's the right thing to do. The child at the time getting the vaccines generally don't appreciate it. In fact, they resent it. They're mad about it. But most of us now look back and say, thank you, Mom, for getting me those vaccines so I didn't get all those diseases. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's the same dynamic you're describing with childhood, in our childlikeness, we think as a child, we act like a child, we behave like a child, but now it's time to put away childish things. And you saw adults now appreciating because they understand the reasons why and how life really works. Some children are more open to this type of lesson, some are not, but we still have the responsibility as parents, teachers, to do what's right because it's right, healthy, and reasonable.
Well, Dr. Jennings, we have just 2 minutes left on our program here. The music is about to begin, and I want to give you one final opportunity to talk to these fresh-faced seniors who are sitting before you. Leave them with a very positive message they can carry with them into their life.
Pursue a life of love. Develop a vision, a godly vision, an eternal vision. Don't set your focus on the earth. Reason and think for yourself. Don't let other people tell you what to think, including a radio personality or doctor you hear on the air. Think it out. Reason it for yourself. Test all things. Practice freedom. Present the truth in love. Leave other people free. Become the healthiest person you can become through God's grace. And always put Him first in your life.
Oh, my words to live by. Excellent, Dr. Jennings. Thank you. www.commonreason is the website. There's a blog there. I was just reading that the other day and enjoying some of the things there, some very humorous things there as well. Also, program archives. You can hear past programs, look at their titles, see if you can find one that interests you. There are resources there, as Dr. Jennings' book, Could It Be This Simple, is available also there for you to look at and to enjoy. And if you are a Facebooker, fan page, Come and Reason, come join us there. Become a fan and get personal messages from Dr. Jennings to all of his fans right there every time he puts something up for you to enjoy. Until next week, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Timothy Jennings inviting you to apply the simple solutions God placed in your heart today. Goodbye, everyone.
Simple Solutions is a production of Life Talk Radio and Dr. Timothy Jennings and is made possible by your generous support. For more information, visit www.comeandreason.com.